Our speakers are Andrew Clearfield from Pfizer and Beck in Houston, and Tom Schrader from Davis Wright Tremaine in Seattle, Washington. And we will leave it to these guys to teach us all about our board issues.
Thanks so much, Mallory. So I guess the first question is, why are we talking about governance? And is there really anything new to say about governance? In response to the second question, I'm not sure. But I think, as we've heard from this morning's sessions, there's likely to be increased scrutiny of nonprofits from the federal government, either in direct reference to executive orders and investigations of nonprofits, and or from attorneys general who are looking more closely at nonprofit activity and enforcing state laws. So governance kind of always remains a hot topic. These slides are really based on a training that we would give to boards. So they're really based to give advice to boards of organizations, but also to lawyers who advise nonprofits, other advisors, accountants, professional advisors. So we're going to talk briefly in terms of an agenda here about the governance and structure of nonprofit corporations, the authority of the board, responsibilities. Andrew will talk about fiduciary duties with particular reference to Texas law. We'll touch briefly on conflicts of interest, asset management, and then, if we have time, liability. So just to kind of set the stage, make sure we're talking about the same things, I think everyone in this audience likely knows the difference between these things, but just to clarify, we're talking about nonprofit corporations. These are corporations formed under nonprofit corporate statutes, typically. The name nonprofit is a bit of a misnomer, as you all know, because nonprofits can and do make money. They make a profit. It's just that the profits have to be reinvested into the organization's activities and are not distributed to any shareholder. There are tax-exempt organizations. So most nonprofit organizations apply for tax-exempt status. Tax-exempt status is obtained by applying to the IRS. And the most common status that we're going to talk about here is 501c3. I should note we're going to focus primarily on 501c3 public charities. As you all may know, private foundations are subject to additional rules that are not applicable to public charities and are a little bit more complex and raise more governance issues. I'm happy to talk about those offline or during a break if people have specific questions. 501c3 organizations must operate exclusively for charitable purposes. Their assets cannot inure to the benefit of any shareholder, any private individual. And then, as we heard in the prior sessions, there are limitations on political activity, including lobbying activity, and then an absolute prohibition on influencing any campaign for or against public office.
So, Andrew. Take over this next spot. Sorry, I guess my eyes aren't quite as good as I thought they were. So the basic governance structure of a nonprofit corporation, and to disclose, Tom actually prepared most of these slides with an emphasis on California, and so we've tweaked them a little bit to be a little bit more Texas-centric. But in Texas, as anyone who practices in Texas knows, the governance structure, you can have so-called members who are either voting or non-voting members, and most often the management of the nonprofit is vested in a board of directors. And there's obviously rules about, you know, there has to be at least three directors, and there's a number of other rules about how the board is comprised. The board has general authority over the management of the nonprofit, but obviously there are restrictions on that. The restrictions come from the statute. You know, fiduciary duties, we'll get to that. You know, the charitable purposes of the entity, they can't act outside of the charitable purposes of the entity. The bylaws, they have to act in compliance with the bylaws. Any gift restrictions, you know, those are...